ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومتعالى محمد عبده ورسوله ما بعد. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن الدنيا أرض حاضر يأكل منه البر والفاجر، ألا وإن الآخرة أجل صادق يقضي فيها ملك عادل قادر يحق الحق ويبطل الباطل، ألا وإن الخير كله بحذافيره في الجنة، ألا وإن الشر كله بحذافيره في النار، ألا فاعملوا وأنتم من الله على حذر، واعلموا أنكم معروضون على أعمالكم، فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره، ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved in Islam, the greatness, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that the human intellect, it is impossible to contemplate or to do justice in any way to describing the majesty of Allah. That personality, Wahab bin Munabba rahimahullah says, إن الله تعالى لم يعطي جميع الناس من بدء الدنيا إلى انقضائها من العقل في جنب عقله إلا كخبة رمل بين رمال الدنيا. He said that the combined عقول and intelligence of every human being from Adam عليه السلام to the last person to come before Qiyamah and to be pulled together and equated to one grain of sand. Then the aql and intelligence of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be all the grains of sand in the surface of the earth. That aql and intelligence, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, Allahumma la astati'u thana'an alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. That, oh Allah, I also cannot do justice to your praise. I also cannot praise you as you ought to be praised. Akbar min kulli kabir, أقوى من كل قوي، أعز من كل عزيز، أعظم من كل عظيم، أجل من كل جليل، greater than anything with greatness. More majestic than anything with majesty, more mighty than anything with might, more glorious than anything with glory, more powerful than anything with power. Allah's greatness, Allah's azmat is wara'ul wara'al, is beyond the human intellect. What do we have at our disposal to describe Allah? We use words, expressions. We find in the books of Aqeedah, expressions, قَدِيمٌ بِلَا اِبْتِدَى دَائِمٌ بِلَا اِنْتِهَى. Allah is forever, Allah was forever. Allah is أول, لَيْسَ قَبْلَهُ شَيْءٍ أول بِلَا بِدَايَةٍ آخِر بِلَا نِهَايَةٍ آخِر لَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ شَيْءٍ أول فله الحكم والقهر آخر فإليه الرجوع والمحشر ظاهر ليس فوقه شيء باطن ليس دونه شيء. These are expressions. Allah is the first, before Allah there is nothing. Allah is the last, after Allah there is nothing. Allah is the first without a beginning. Allah is the last without an ending. Allah is apparent, omnipresent, above Allah there is nothing. Allah is conceived, conceived from Allah there is nothing. However, all these expressions that are used to describe Allah made up of what? Made up of words. Words are formed from alphabets. And words, alphabets, this is makhluk. These are created entities. And that which is makhluk can never do justice to describing Khaliq. Allah is the creator. Everything that exists is makhluk. Besides, must Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Quran tells us, Allah has created every shay. Mufassirin explain this word shay. What they say? Masiwallah. Everything besides Allah is makhluk. Everything besides Allah is created. It is dependent on Allah. Samad. Samad is only Allah. Qaim bizzat is only Allah. What is this expression, samad? Normally we translate independent. What is the reality? That being whose existence is dependent on no entity. And every other entity that exists, its existence is dependent on Allah. Samad la yasta'inu bi shay. Allah does not take help from anything. La yahtaju ila shay. Allah is not in need of anything. La yanfa'uhu shay, nothing benefits Allah. La yadurruhu shay, nothing harms Allah. La yakhfa alayhi shay, nothing is concealed from Allah. Qabla kulli shay, he is before everything. Ba'da kulli shay, he is after everything. Fawqa kulli shay, he is above everything. Yumitu kulli shay, he will give death to everything. Khaliqu kulli shay, he is the creator of everything. Khabirun bi kulli shay, he has knowledge of everything. Latifun bi kulli shay, exhibits his kindness towards everything. Laysa kamithlihi shay, and there is nothing that is like Allah. Allah's majesty, like I said, but we have words. We say Allah is forever. What does forever mean? Forever means a very, 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 very long period of time. But this cannot do justice to describing Allah. Why? Because time is Allah's makhluk. Time is Allah's creation. Allah is free from the restriction or the constraints of time. La yahrihi makan. La yishtamilu alayhi zaman. Allah is free of shape. Allah is free of form. Allah is free of color. Allah is free of direction. Allah is there. Allah exists, but Allah does not occupy space. Allah has created space. Allah has created shape. Allah has created form. Allah has created direction. These are makhluk. Allah is a Rabb of this. Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghrib. Rabbul Masharik wal Magharib. Rabbul Mashriqain wa Rabbul Maghribain. Rabbul Samawati Sab' wa Rabbul Arshil Azim. East, west, north, south, above, below. Aynama tuwallu fathumma wajhullah. Turn in any direction and you will find Allah. Allah is Rabb. La yahwihi makan. Allah is free of space, shape, form. La yishtaminu alayhi zaman. Allah is free of the constraints and restriction of time. Past tense, present tense, future tense, for Allah this is equal. 1 million years ago, now, and 1 million years from now, for Allah is equal. This tick, 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 tick of the clock. Allah has restrained, constricted, confined this entire makhluk to this. This inexorable, incessant motion of time, which Quran encapsulates in the expression, يُغْشِلْ لَيْلَ النَّهَارِ يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ. Day is wrapped up by night, night is wrapped up by day, day envelops night, night envelops day. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala describes it like this. He says, أَفَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَفَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ يُبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدِ وَيُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدِ وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودِ. Why don't you observe? Why don't you contemplate? Why don't you consider, ponder over the movement of time? Day followed by night, night followed by day. Every new thing is made old. Every distant thing is brought near. وَيَعْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَعُودِ. And every promise of Allah will be made a reality. Will reach fruition. What promise? What promise? That which Quran refers to as yaqeen, yaqeen, there have been segments of humanity throughout the ages that denied the existence of a creator. atheists, agnostics. There were those that denied Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. There was even one group of people that denied their own existence. They said everything is going on in the mind. In reality we don't exist. But there has never been a faction or a group that has denied mort and death. Why? Because that is the inescapable reality. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah says, worship your Rabb, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah, in this place, Allah does not say until mort comes. Allah says until yaqeen comes. Until absolute certainty that can never be denied. Mort! وَلَكُمْ مِعَادُ يَوْمٍ وَلَكُمْ مِعَادُ يَوْمٍ لَا تَسْتَأَخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةً وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Allah says there is a promised time when it comes. 14 centuries ago, Quran issued the challenge. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If your claim, or the claims that are purported by the so-called educational institutions of this world, or the propaganda machinery of Batil, which is espousing its message from morning to night in every direction, what is that message? That this dunya is everything. Acquire the material wealth of this world. Success, failure, hopes, aspiration revolve around this life. Allah says if this is correct, 14 centuries ago, Quran issued the challenge. Look at the imagery contained in these verses of the Quran. Allah says the person is on his deathbed. His ruh, his soul has reached the hulqum. He is in sakarat. The ventilator is there, the doctors are there. The latest in medical science is there. The money is at his disposal. The means are at the disposal. 14 centuries ago, Allah issues the challenge in the Quran that if your claim is correct, that this life is everything. In kuntum ghayra madineen. Then send his ruh back into his body. Get him an extension. Doesn't have to be a few days. Get him a few minutes extension. 14 centuries have passed. And wallah, another 14,000 centuries may pass. But at that appointed time, وَإِذَا الْمَنِيَّةُ أَنْشَبَتْ أَلْفَارَهَا أَلْفَيْتَ كُلَّ تَمِيمَةٍ لَا تَنْفَأُ. Like the poet says, when mort and death bears its claws, nothing, no system, no science, no wealth of this world is going to benefit. It will not get you an extension. Harun Rashid, 48 years of age, the prime of his life, he was a Khalifa ruling three continents. If you want to understand the vastness of this, those who are familiar with geography, what type of kingdom he had, from Baghdad to Kashmir, from Baghdad to Istanbul, from Baghdad to Rome, from Baghdad to Persia, from Baghdad to Senegal and Chad in Northern Africa. When he would see a rain cloud, he would say, Umturi haythu shit, wasayujba ilayya kharajuki. Rain wherever you want, the produce of your rain will still be in the kingdom of Harun. Such a vast kingdom, 48 years of age. He was in a city called Mashhad in Iran. He became terminally ill. He ordered that his grave should be dug, set at the side of the grave, picked up the grains of sand, let them trickle through his fingers while lamenting over and over again, Ma aghna anni maliya, halaka anni sultaniya, my wealth is of no use to me whatsoever. All these armies, all the technology, halaka anni sultaniya, this is not going to get me an extension. وَلَكُمْ مِعَادُ يَوْمٍ لَا تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةً وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Allah says there is a promised time. Unfortunately, such an effort of batil is taking place. Such an environment. Pesa, pesa, pesa. Acquire the material things of this world. Our entire lives are revolving around the hopes and aspirations pertaining to this life. A person is planning, is envisaging in his mind's eye. What is he planning? He's planning a 60-foot tall structure above the ground. Little does he realize before the sun sets today, he is to go 6 feet beneath the ground. Is that not the reality of this life? The function is planned. The caterers have been given the menu, printed invitations. Printed menus. Nowadays, even the tablecloth has to match the color of the chair. And the service in the cup have to match the tablecloth. Elaborate venue has been booked out. Hundreds of thousands of pounds have been given to the caterers for the big function, the lavish ceremony to take place. Little does he realize that the insects of the grave are already sharpening their teeth. He is to become their next meal. The tailor has been given the order. The suit has been ordered. Hugo Boss suit or whatever suit it may be. Little does he realize that the calico for his cup and cloth has already reached the marketplace and is being sold. That youngster stands in front of the mirror, he looks from this side, looks from that side. Hours and hours spent in the gym. That has become the new ibadat of the Sunnah. Same pabandi of Salah, more pabandi is gym. Hours and hours. Steroids and this chemical and that chemical. To build the physique, to become Mr. Universe or whatever they call it. Looking from this side, looking from that side, he's got the Ray-Bans on. He's got the gold necklace around his neck, he's screaming, admiring himself. That young girl, she stands in front of the mirror. The bloom of her cheeks were compared to the bloom of roses, the twinkling of her eyes to that of stars. She thinks she is the Miss Universe of this day and age. Preens herself, looks from this direction, looks from that direction. Little do we realize it is just a few moons. And that which Quran describes, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسُ فِي الْخَلْقِ, Allah says, those whom we take to old age, we bring a reverse in the creation. What are you going to do to stop the ravages of time? How are you going to stop this clock? Which Botox treatment? Which cosmetic? Which plastic surgery? Which technician and doctor and specialist are you going to go to delay the onset of the ravages of time? Allah has restricted, tied up this entire makhluk, and the tragedy of it is that this realization is not dawning on us. The passage of time is not a cause of celebration. It is an ibrat. It is a wake-up call. It is a reminder that 4-foot by 2-foot hole in the ground, we have forgotten it. It has not forgotten us. Every day, Rasulullah ﷺ says that hole in the ground is calling out, Anabaytul Dud, Anabaytul Dhulma, Anabaytul Wahda, Anabaytul Wahsha. I am the home of insects. I am the home of loneliness. I am the home of fear. I am the home of darkness. Prepare yourself. Don't look at the rising sun. Look at the setting sun. Don't be deceived by the rave clubs and by the places of music and merriment and zina and shamelessness. Go to the Qabristan. Go to the houses of those widows that are sobbing in front of the bodies of their husbands. Go and see the utter despair and sorrow and grief on the faces of those elderly fathers who previously had such hopes and aspirations for their young sons. Today they are lifting the janazah of those same sons. Everything around us in this world is primarily giving one message, one reminder, one wake-up call. Kullu man alayha fan. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything is temporary. Nothing will remain. What good is that health that is followed by sickness? That wealth that is, the loss of which is constantly feared. That youth that is followed by old age. Like the poet says, Inna la nafrahu bil ayyami naqta'uha,
إِنَّا لَنَفْرَحُ بِالْأَيَّامِ نَقْطَعُهَا وَكُلَّ يَوْمٍ مَضَى يُدْلِي مِنَ الْأَجَلِ فَاعْمَلْ لِنَفْسِكَ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ مُجْتَهِدًا فَإِنَّمَا الرِّبْحُ وَالْخُسْرَانُ فِي الْعَمَلِ نُجَدِّدْ سُرُورًا بِالْهِلَالِ إِذَا بَدَى وَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا السَّيْفُ لِلْحَتْفِ يَنْتَظِي. He said, oh foolish insan, you are celebrating the passage of time. The tick, tick, tick of the clock. The seconds that are becoming minutes, the minutes that are becoming hours, the hours that are becoming days, the days that are becoming weeks, the weeks that are becoming months, and the months that are becoming years. You are celebrating this passage. 2 years ago, I went to a relative's house. He said, I just came from a birthday party. How old was the person? He says, 60 years of age. 60-year-old person, one wonders how you're going to put 60 candles on the cake. And then when he tries to blow it out, respiratory system of a 60-year-old man, whether he'll get blown out first, or the candles will get blown out, then also it's out. And yet what is happening? We are celebrating. إِنَّا لَنَفْرَحُ بِالْأَيَّامِ نَقْطَعُهَا. He says, you are celebrating, you become happy with the passage of time. وَكُلَّ يَوْمٍ مَضَى يُدْنِي مِنَ الْأَجَلِ. But every passing day is taking you closer to your mort. وَلَكُمْ مِعَادُ يَوْمٍ. Quran tells us there is a promised time. When it comes, لَا تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَعَةً وَلَا تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ. But the person says, I escaped from the jaws of death. Agar, death did not bear its claws. Because if death had bared its claws, there's no question of escape. Al-Maut laysa minhu al-fawt. Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, mort and death, there is no escape. He used to say, al-nasu niyam. People are sleeping. Idha matu intabahu. When they die, they will wake up. What is the reality? What is the reality of this temporary world? That which Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the example he gives. Wallahi mad dunya fil akhirah illa mithlu ma yaj'alu ahadukum isba'ahu fil yammi falyanzur bima yarji'. He says, by the qasam of my Allah, this world compared to akhirah, this dunya compared to akhirah is not like, it's as if someone takes his finger, pokes it in the ocean, lifts it up. Normally how we translate this? We say the droplet of water is dunya, the ocean is akhirat. What is the reality? Even the droplet doesn't remain on the finger. That droplet falls back into the ocean. The little wetness of the finger is dunya. The entire ocean is akhirat. By the qasam of my Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us this example, and yet what is happening with this ummah? Hours and hours in front of the shaitan box. Hours and hours in frivolous pursuit. That novel, 200, 300, 400, 500 pages. By what you doing? I'm whiling away the time. I'm passing the time. As if time has no value. A few years ago, Jamaat was in Ermelo, one town in South Africa. That time the UEFA League or something like that was going on. Our youngsters will know better. I might be getting the name wrong. You went to somebody, by after Isha Salah, there'll be bayan in the masjid. First question, how long? Because they say Indians are very conscious about time. What they call it, Indian time. Muhammad Nasab, Dawn Bargan, one of our elders, he gives an example. He says, what is Indian time? He says, once in Bombay station in India, people were celebrating, they were busting crackers and balloons. Asked them, what are you celebrating? They said, the first time in history, the 11 o'clock Delhi train arrived at 11 o'clock. Someone made a little bit of tahqiq and he found out this was yesterday's 11 o'clock train. Came today. That is Indian time. We become very conscious about time when we are called to the masjid, when we are called to the amal of deen. And when this youngster said, bhai, after Isha Salah, there'll be program in the masjid. First question, how long? How long? I said, don't worry, it'll be less than a UEFA league match. There you want extra time. 22 people chasing a piece of pig skin. There you want extra time. But the talks of deen, the talks of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much does the heart aspire towards this? Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He gave us a thermometer. Because that Sahabi, where it spent so much time in the Sohbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if he said that if someone came from outside Medina, who didn't know the residents of Medina, when he would see Abdullah bin Mas'ud and the manner of how close he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the amount of time that he would spend with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would form the idea that Abdullah bin Mas'ud is from the Ahlul Bayt, from the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a close ta'alluq he had with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave us a thermometer, a yardstick, a measuring tape. Utluq qalbaka inda thalathati mawatin. He said, search your heart. Search your heart, take the thermometer and check. Utluq qalbaka inda thalathati mawatin. On three occasions, search the heart. Where is the heart going? Is it going towards Allah? Is it going towards akhirat? Is it going towards the consciousness of deen, or is it going elsewhere? What are the three occasions? He said, inda sima'i al-Qur'an, when Qur'an is read. Search your heart when Qur'an is read. Ramadan passed recently, we know what happened. The poor Hafiz reads a little bit slowly, what happened? I remember a few years ago, our Jamaat was in Cape Town. We passed by one masjid, the road was blocked. Couldn't get past. We were on our way to a bayan somewhere else. So I asked the neighbor, what happened? Why is such a big crowd in this masjid? Such a big crowd. It's some foreign speaker, some special occasion. What has happened? He said, Mawlana Sahib, in this masjid, they read only last 10 surahs in Tarawih. Now what happens in Ramadan? I'm digressing. We become muftis. Even a bigger mufti than Umar radiallahu anhu. Doesn't even know how to make wudu properly. Doesn't know how to make ghusl properly, but in Ramadan he becomes a mufti. He wants to know whether 8 rakats is sunnah or 20 rakats is sunnah. I don't know here in England, but one place in South Africa, outside the masjid they had two arrows, parking for 8 rakats, parking for 20 rakats. The shauq, sharaf, inclination for Qur'an is not there. The love and attachment of Qur'an. One tabi'i says, in the haram of Makkah, I saw Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He started his tahajjud salah. I stood behind him to follow him in salah. He says, Uthman started from Surah Fatiha by the qasam of my Allah. He did not go into ruku until he reached Surah Nas. The entire Quran in one rakat of tahajjud salah. And what would Usman radiallahu anhu say? Lo tahurat qulubukum, ma shami'tum min kalamillahi azza wa jal. He would say, if your hearts were pure, you would never tire of listening to the Quran. This lack of attachment, of munasabat of the ummah to the Quran is why? Because of the impurity of the heart. That heart which is full of listening to music, that heart which is full of listening to haram, how will that heart ever find satisfaction and enjoyment in listening to the kalam of Allah? That heart has to be cleansed. Allah's nur, Allah's marifat, Allah's ta'alluq doesn't just come like that. An effort has to be made, qurbani has to be made, sacrifice has to be given. Nothing of dunya comes just like that. We cannot lament sufficiently the lack of munasabat of the ummah today with the Quran. This is that kalam, my respected brothers. What does Allah say? لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That if we had to reveal this Quran on a mountain, that mountain would be crushed, would turn into dust out of the fear of Allah. This is that kalam. Allah says, "Inna aradna al-amanat al-samawati wal-arb, fa'abina yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan. Innahu kana zaluman jahula." Allah says, "This amanat, this Quran, we offer it to the heavens and the earth. They refuse to take it on. Wa ashfaqna minha, they fear it." Muhammad al-insan took this responsibility. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Allah said this insan is zalim and he is jahil. You haven't understood the value of Quran. Open a new shop, read a little bit Quran. Move into a new house, read a little bit Quran. Ramadan comes, take the Quran out. What happens the rest of the time? This is that amanat Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man jalahu amamahu saqahu ila jannah. He said, if my ummah will put the Quran in front of them, Quran will take them to Jannah. Wa man jalahu khalfahu saqahu ila nar. But if they will put the Quran behind their backs, the same Quran, Allah protect us, will take them to Jannah. One person comes to the Wali Sahib, he says, Wali Sahib, make dua for my child. Wali Sahib makes dua, Ya Allah, make the son of so-and-so a muazzin. The man gets upset. He says, I told you to make dua, not badua. Muazzin. Some places where they say, Bangi Sahib. Don't even translate it. Why don't you make dua? He becomes a doctor, lawyer, engineer, scientist. Muazzin. And yes, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Allah has made, Allah's Rasulullah said, لا يدود في قبره. لا يدود في قبره. He said, the doctor, the body of the doctor and the lawyer and the engineer and the scientist will become the fodder and the food of the insects of the grave. Allah has made the body of a muazzin haram on the insects. أطول الناس أناقا. This expression, أطول الناس, longest neck, means the highest rank. أطول الناس أناقا. يوم القيامة المؤذنون. He said the people with the highest rank on the day of judgment would be the people who used to call out Adhan. On that day there will be an announcement made. ألا وإنكم جعلتم نسبا وجعلتم نسبي جعلت أكرمكم أتقاكم ولكن أبيتم وقلتم إن فلان ابن فلان خير من فلان ابن فلان اليوم أبو نسبكم وأرفع نسبي أين المتقون أين الذين تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع أين الصائمون. You people had one basis of respect. What was your basis of respect? How many zeros in the bank balance? What type of car he was driving? What type of house he was living in? Insan ke qeemat bahar ke sarmaya se nahi hote, right? The value of a human being is not determined by what is outside. Andar ke sarmaya, what is inside? This culture, this mentality to judge and to value on that which is apparent, this is not, it does not behold the intellect of a human being. Like a poet puts it nicely, he says, يَمْشِ الْفَقِيرُ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ ضِدُّهُ تَرَاهُ مُبْغِضًا وَلَيْسَ بِمُذْنِبٍ يَرَى الْعَدَاوَةَ وَلَا يَرَى أَسْبَابَهَا حَتَّى أَنَّ الْكِلَابَ إِذَا رَأَتْ ذَا ثَرْوَةٍ خَضَعَتْ لَدَيْهِ وَحَرَّكَتْ أَذْنَابَهَا وَإِذَا رَأَتْ يَوْمًا فَقِيرًا غَابِرًا نَبَحَتْ عَلَيْهِ وَقَشَرَتْ أَنْيَابَهَا. He says, the poor man walks. Society labels him vagabond. Society puts all sorts of labels, I don't know what they call it in the UK. He says the poor man walks and the whole world is against him. He sees the distaste. He sees the manner in which you scoff at him. He sees the manner in which you look down upon him. He sees your hatred, yet he does not know the cause of it. Such is this culture of judging on the basis of wealth and opulence of this world, that this poet says, even the dog, when it sees a rich man, it stretches out its forepaws and it wags its tail. When it sees a poor man, it barks at him and it chases him. In other words, this mentality to judge them, to place labels and to place price tags on entities on the basis of that which is zahir and apparent, is the mentality of a dog. It does not behold the intellect of insan. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, once he comes in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was nahiful jism. Naturally, his bones were very frail, very thin. The wind blew, the lungi lifted up. The thin shins of Abdullah bin Mas'ud became visible. One or two sahaba giggled and smirked. Allah's Rasul looked at them and he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهُمَا لَأَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيْذَانِ مِنْ جَبَلِ أَحْرَمٍ. He said, you people are smirking at the tensions of Abdullah bin Mas'ud by the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two shins of Abdullah bin Mas'ud will be weightier on the scale of deeds than the mountain of Uhud. رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرُ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. Jirama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, there will be some people in my ummah, they will have disheveled hair, their body will be full of dust. Society will look down upon them. No one will place any value upon them. If there is a majlis and a gathering, no one will call them friend. If they give their opinion, no one will listen to them. If they offer for the hand of a daughter, marriage of someone, no one will accept it. If they intercede on behalf of someone, no one will give them a second hearing. Yet their maqam and their status, if they raise their hands and talk to Allah, Allah will fulfill whatever they want. رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرُ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. What is the maqam and status in the sight of Allah? Our value systems are gone upside down. That day the angel will announce, you people had one basis of respect, we had one basis of respect. What was your basis of respect? Worldly wealth, worldly opulence, material procurement of this world became the basis by which you judged. What was our basis of respect? Inna akramakum atqakum. Who was closer to Allah? In whose heart was beating with the love of Allah? Who had the ta'alluq with Allah? Who had the taqwa of Allah? Today your basis of respect has come to an end. Our basis is established. We are the people of taqwa. We are the people who used to get up in the dead of night and cry before Allah. Ayna sa'imun, we are those who used to fast. The one who had the knowledge of Quran. Inna fil jannati nahran. Inna fil jannati nahran. Ismuhu Rayyan. عليه مدينة من مرجان له سبعون ألف باب من ذهب وفضة لحامل القرآن. جناب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, in Jannah there is one stream, its name is Rayyan. Above it there is a city of Marjan. The city of Marjan will have 70,000 doors made out of gold and silver. Allah has kept it for the one who acquired the knowledge of Quran. Jamaat from Qatar a few years ago was in South Africa. There was one person from the royal family, elderly person, Arab, Olaj al-Sahaba, from the progeny of Sahaba. He was giving a talk. His son was standing one side and telling me, Moni Sahab, this is the first time in the life of my father that he is giving a deeni talk. He said, my father was so far away from deen that when I was growing up, if my father saw me with the Quran, he would get upset. And he would say, sit with your school books, what are you doing with the Quran? Why are you wasting your time? Quran ibn ashna pegham ban chuki. Quran has become an irrelevant message. Barkat. But what is the day of the Quran? What is the night of the Quran? What is the dictate of the Quran? What is Allah telling us? Quran, Quran, that pegham of Allah, if it had to be revealed on mountains, mountains would have been crushed. Allah says, Tanzeel, Tanzeel. What is this expression, Tanzeel? That something momentous is about to occur. And something great is happening. Tanzeel. Allah says it is coming. Tanzeel. Tanzeel. Mimman khalaqa al-arda wa samawati al-ula. Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa. Lahu ma fi al-samawat wa ma fi al-ard wa ma baynahuma wa ma tahta al-thara. Wa in tajahar bil-qawl fa innahu ya'lamu al-sirra wa akhfa. Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Lahul asma'ul husna. Tanzeel. Min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل وإنه لتنزيل رب العالمين نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين بلسان عربي مبين. How many places Quran tells us what is Quran? But we are worried about the degrees of this world. The PhDs of this world. No problem. We are not saying don't acquire the knowledge of this world. But why deprive yourself of the knowledge of Quran? Go to the archives of the universities of the world. Go to the archives of the so-called knowledge houses of the world. And go page by page, line by line, with a microscope. Go page by page, line by line, with the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam, and try and answer these basic questions. Who created me? What is the purpose of my life? What is success? What is failure? Why are people dying around me? After they die, where are they going? What does my Allah, what does my Creator want from me? By the qasam of my Allah, the so-called educational institutes of this world, the archives of so-called knowledge, line by line, page by page, with the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam, you will not be able to answer these basic questions. What is the purpose of this life? What is success? What is failure? What is what? What is death? They have 200 different theories as to what death is. And the fact that there is 200 tells you all along. They don't even know what is death. What is the reality of this life? We are living in an era or a period, my respected brothers, that humanity, whether it is the first world countries, whether it is the third world countries, whether it is the technologically advanced countries of this world, or whether it is the backward nations of this world, we have become the living embodiment of that expression of Quran where Allah says, O ka dhulumat fi bahri al-lujji yaghshahu mawj min fawqihi mawj min fawqihi sahab dhulumat ba'daha fawqa ba'd idha akhraja yadahu lam yakad yaraha wa man lam yaj'al illahu lahu nura fama lahu min nur. A dark night, darkness of the ocean, darkness of a terrible storm, darkness of the waves rising up, their shadow upon other waves, darkness upon darkness upon darkness, such darkness that Quran says that if you put your hand in front of your face, you will not be able to see your fingers. Such is the darkness that has enveloped humanity. And Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. If Allah does not give them light, where will they find light? This entire world is parashan, searching, trying to find what is the meaning of this life, trying to appease this inner fire, this fire that is burning inside, this discontentment. They're trying to put it out, looking for peace, looking for solace, looking for comfort, looking for itminan. In what? In the sharab of this world, in the zina of this world, in the music of this world, in the ringing of coins of this world, in the five-star hotels of this world. Such a tide of so-called technological advancement to give ease to this body, to this insan. They are even building bathrooms on aeroplanes. Like the poet says, Sobar chaman mehka, Sobar bahar aayi, dunya ki wahi ronak, dil ki wahi tanhai. A tide of technological advancement to give peace, contentment, ease inside, yet humanity is boiling on fire. Alcohol consumption, drug consumption, suicide rate, the like of which has never been seen. A few years ago, Jamaat was in America, they met one Muslim doctor. He says, I'm a child psychiatrist. Sadi, the Jamaat was shocked. He said, children need psychiatric treatment. Children also need psychiatric. He said, Wali Sahab, if you phone my surgery, the next available appointment is 3 years' time. They made war with Allah. They challenged the system of Allah. They tried to address the reality of this life in what way? Having removed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the equation. And as long as we will remove Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the equation by the qasam of my Allah, the problem will not get less, the problem will increase. By taking an axe and striking it upon your own foot, trying to find peace, trying to find contentment, what we don't realize, my respected brothers, is that this thirst, this cry is not coming from the body of insan, it is coming from the ruh, from the soul of insan. Janabi Rasulullah said, Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. He said, every child is born on natural fitrat salima. Allah has created every human being in such a way that intrinsically his heart will search for Allah. His heart will cry out for Allah. His heart will search for the way of life of Muhammad Rasulullah. This deen-e-Islam is not a difficulty. from that peace, that itminan, Allah has kept in sajda, that by the qasam of my Allah, you will find nowhere else. Ahmed bin Hamid al-Huwali goes to Abu Sulaiman Darani, finds him crying. He says, Abu Sulaiman, why are you crying? He says, oh Ahmed, إِذَا جَنَّ اللَّيْلِ وَاقْتَلَتَ الظَّلَامِ وَكَلَا أَفْلَا كُلُّ حَبِيبٍ بِحَبِيبِهِ. He says, when the nightfall descends and the darkness becomes intense and every lover goes into solitude with his beloved, there are some slaves of Allah, the ishq and the fire of Allah's muhabbat is burning in their hearts. It will not allow them to lie on their beds. They wake up. نَصَبُوا إِلَيَّ أَقْدَامَهُمْ وَافْتَرَشُوا إِلَيَّ جِبَاهَهُمْ. They go on the musalla. Sometimes they are standing, sometimes they are in ruku, sometimes they are in sajda. فَبَيْنَ مُتَعُوِهِمْ وَبَاكِنْ وَصَارِقٍ وَشَاكِنْ. Sometimes they are whispering, sometimes they are shouting out, sometimes they are lamenting, sometimes they are in communion, in munajat with Allah. The shock of Allah's muhabbat, the shock of Jannah, the khawf of Jahannam has caused them to go on the musalla in the dead of night. To the onlooker, they are crying, they are sobbing, lamenting over their gunas, lamenting over their wrongs, crying over the fear of Jahannam. To the onlooker, it looks as if they are going through some pain and difficulty, but by the qasam of my Allah, Allah, at that time, when those hot tears are pouring down the cheeks in the dead of night, Allah puts that ecstasy, that enjoyment in the heart, that no place of haram of this world can ever give you that enjoyment. This is what Ibrahim bin Adam rahimahullah used to say, أَهْلُ الْلَيْلِ فِي لَيْلِهِمْ أَلَذُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ اللَّهُ فِي لَهُهِمْ. The people of Tahajjud Salah, the people of Allah's Munajat, the people of Allah's Taalluq, the people of the Musalla, Allah has given them that lazzat and that ecstasy that you can never ever find in the places of Haram. Humanity is searching to put this inside, this inner fire out, with the sharab of this world, and the zina of this world, and the music of this world, and the dens of Haram of this world, by the qasam of my Allah, that fire will never be put out. The Be'chani will increase. The restlessness will increase. Because if that fire could be put out in these places of haram and activities of haram, then the kalam of my Allah, the Quran of my Allah would be lying. And by the qasam of my Allah, the Quran does not lie. What does Allah tell us? Allah, bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Listen, put up your ears, hearken, pay attention. Only in the zikr of Allah, only in the ta'alluq of Allah, only in obedience of Allah, only in connecting this heart with Allah will you ever find peace. You will not find it anywhere else. Mu'azza Adawiyya rahmatullah alayha, she was a tabi'i, the generation after Sahaba. She was the student of Aisha Ummul Mumineen radiallahu anha. She was married to Silla bin Ashyam. One day, Silla bin Ashyam, her husband and her son become shaheed in the path of Allah. The women of the locality come to her house, they knock on the door. She opens the door and addresses them, إِن كُنْتُنَّ جِئْتُنَّ لِتُهَنِّ أَنِّي بِمَا أَكْرَمَنِ اللَّهُ بِهِ فَذَاكْ. If you have come to give me Mubarak Badi, to congratulate me, that Allah has accepted my family in his path and enter my house, وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ جِئْتُنَّ لِغَيْرِ ذَلِكْ فَرْجَعْ. But if you have come with any other purpose, then please leave. She lived for 20 years, after her husband passed away. It is said in that 20-year period, her back did not touch the bed once. Each night she would be on the musalla in Tahajjud Salah. And when she would become sleepy, she would lament with herself, أَجِبْتُ لِعَيْنٍ تَنَامْ وَهِيَ عَرَفَتْ تُولَ الْرِقَادِ فِي ظُلَمِ الْقُبُورِ. She used to say, oh my eyes, it surprises me that you want to sleep. Don't you know in the darkness of the grave what a long sleep you will have? She would lament with herself like this and she would fall asleep on the musalla. 20 years like this. And then when the time came for her to leave the world, she was sitting on the musalla, she looks at the front porch, she smiled, then she cried. Her maidservant says, you smiled, then you cried, what happened? She said, I saw my husband Silla. He was dressed in green robes. And there was a Nurani makhluk with him, the like of which I have never seen. He smiled at me and he told me that the iftar of my roza today would be with him. So mujhe umeed ho gaya. I became hopeful that Allah has made my maghfirat. And then you cry. Why did you cry? Ask ourselves, my respected friends, why did she cry? Why was she crying? Inni ذكرت مفارقة الصيام والصلاة والتلاوة. والصوم. Why did you cry? Why was she crying? She said, I will never be able to fast again. I will never be able to read Quran again. I will never be able to stand on the Musalla again. This loss made me cry. Allah has kept that lazzat and ecstasy. We have experienced the so-called ecstasy of looking at the daughters of others. Taste the sweetness that Allah will give you when you lower your gaze. We have experienced the so-called ecstasy of listening to music. Listen to Allah's kalam. Block that ear and see the sweetness that Allah gives. This deen is fitrat. It is according to the natural nature of insan. Ibrahim bin Adham, Rahimullah, used to say, Allah has given the people of His ta'alluq, of His ibadat, that lazzat and ecstasy that you will never find in haram. Why? He used to say, lazzatul munajat, innaha laysat min ad-dunya. He used to say, this lazzat, this ecstasy, this sweetness, this satisfaction, this enjoyment that Allah has kept on the musalla, that Allah has kept in dua, that Allah has kept in His ta'alluq, that Allah has kept in taking His name, it is not of this dunya. Innaha min al-jannah, it is from jannah. Anhara Allah ta'ala li awliya'i fi dunya. Allah gives it in this world to those who will aspire for it. To those who will make qurbani for it. Coming back to what we were saying earlier, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, Utlub qalbaka inda thalathati mawatin. Search this heart on three occasions. Check. Thermometer has been given, yardstick has been given, measuring tape has been given, in the sima'il Qur'an. When Qur'an is read, search your heart. Wafi majalis dhikr, in the gatherings of Allah's remembrance, in the talks of deen, search your heart. Am I looking for the escape route? Am I looking for the exit sign? Am I ready to run? Or am I like a fish in the water? مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي الْمَسْجِدْ كَالسَّمَكِ فِي الْمَاءِ. The mafhum of the riwayat, the example of a mu'min in the masjid is like a fish in water. Is my heart attached to this or is it looking for something else? وَفِي أَوْقَاتِ الْخَلْوَى وَفِي أَوْقَاتِ الْخَلْوَى. Third occasion, Abdullah bin Mas'ud says, search your heart in the moments of solitude, when you are alone. When you are alone in the dead of night, does your heart aspire towards Allah? Or do you plan the disobedience of Allah? Is this heart beating with the love of Allah? How much do we speak of Allah's greatness? How much is this tongue moving in the greatness of Allah? Allah's majesty, Allah's kibriyai, Allah's jalal, Allah's azmat. This is wara'ul wara, it is beyond human comprehension. Allah's greatness, this is Bahrul La Sahil Lahu. It is a limitless ocean. Everything around us, my respected brothers, everything around us is inviting us to recognize the greatness of Allah. Recognize the Qudrat of Allah. Recognize the Jalal of Allah. Recognize the Azmat of Allah. These eyes, it is said, 1 millimeter of the eye can accept 30,000 separate points of light in 1 second. In each eye, Allah has placed 130 million receptors for light. Call it light bulbs. 130 million light bulbs Allah has placed in each eye. Where? Some laboratory? In some manufacturing plant? In a conducive environment? No! فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ in the womb of your mothers, فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ in 3 layers of darkness, Allah fashioned this insan to perfection. Not one human being. Millions and billions at any given time. 130 million receptors for light in each eye. At the back of the eye, they say there's a hole. size of the hole is 0.25 millimeter. Each 10 receptors have one cable. 130 million receptors for light, 1.3 million cable. A wire, a cable with 1.3 million wires is passing through a hole the size of which is 0.25 millimeter. Who is doing that? We want to address issues in this world having removed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the equation. We want to understand the reality of this life having removed the Quran from the equation. Then what happens? When you remove Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the equation, then you have to resort to people like Darwin. 1809 to 1883 he lived. What did he say? My grandfather was a monkey. Everything happened by chance. Accidental occurrences. Fancy theories will be given. But where is the akal? Where is the logic? Where is the understanding? 1.3 million wires passing through a hole, 0.25 millimeter at the back of the eye is the retina. Each time an image falls, the muscles flex to clear it so that the next image can come. This flexing that occurs of the muscles of the retina, if the same muscle, it happens 100,000 times a day, if the same muscles are to be placed in your feet, it is equivalent to walking 80 kilometers a day. Yet the eyes don't get tired. 10 three-dimensional pictures every second. 800,000 pictures every day. No camera can do that. We are able to see why? Because of the noor which Allah has placed in the eye. What is Allah's noor? What is Allah's noor? Musa alayhi salam, Rabbi arini andur ilayhi. He said, oh my Allah, reveal yourself to me, I want to look at you. Rabbi arini andur ilayhi. Allah said, lan tarani, oh Musa, you will not be able to see me. Walakin andur ilal jabal, fa in istaqarra makanahu fa sawfa tarani. But never mind, look at the mountain. If the mountain is able to bear my tajalli and my noor, you will see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلْ جَعْلَهُ دَكَّى وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. One tiny tajalli of Allah was directed to the mountain. The mountain turned to dust. Musa alayhi salam fell down unconscious. Mufassirin say 40 days he remained unconscious. Not even direct. The tajalli was directed to the mountain. Tiny tajalli, the reflection of it. Musa alayhi salam fell unconscious for 40 days. That day is coming. What did my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Allahumma zukni lazzat al-nadri ila wajhik. Oh Allah, give us the lazzat and the ecstasy of being able to look directly at you. Stay away from the haram gazes of this world. Stay away from looking at the daughters of others. Lower this gaze. Bring these ears, these eyes unto the command of Allah. That day will come when Allah will reveal Himself in Jannah. What is the tajalli of Allah? He said we are able to see because of the noor which is in our eyes. 130 million light bulbs in each eye. Yet the eyesight of insan is limited. You look at the eagle, look at the falcon, look at the birds. Look at the fish, the eyesight Allah has given them. The depths of the ocean. Ikrama, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah is the narrator of this riwayat. He says, لَوْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ نُورَ جَمِيعَ أَبْصَارِ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِّ وَالطَّيْرِ وَالدَّوَابِ فِي عَيْنِ عَبْدٍ ثم كشف حجابا واحدا من 70 حجابا دون الشمس لما استطاع العبد ان ينظر اليها. He says, if the noor of my eyes, your eyes, of every human being on the surface of this earth, every animal, every bird, every insect, every fish, the noor of all their eyes are taken, pulled together, and placed in the eye of one person. Between us and the sun, Allah has placed 70 veils to protect us. If only one ray is removed, such is the noor of the sun, that with the combined eyesight of every creation of Allah, this person will not be able to look at the sun. وَنُورُ الشَّمْسِ جُزْءٌ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ جُزْءًا مِنْ نُورِ الْكُرْسِي. The noor of the sun is only 1/70 of the noor of Allah's kursi. وَنُورُ الْكُرْسِي جُزْءٌ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ جُزْءًا مِنْ نُورِ arsh. The nur of the kursi is only 1/70th of the nur of Allah's arsh. Wa nurul arshi juz'un min sab'ina juz'an min nurul sitr. And the nur of Allah's arsh is only 1/70th of the nur of one of the 70,000 babes in front of Allah. He says, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا آتَ اللَّهُ عَبْدَهُ مِنَ النُّورِ فِي عَيْنَيْهِ وَقْتَ النَّظْرِ إِلَى وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْكَرِيمِ عَيَانًا. He says, consider what nur Allah will place in the eye of the Jannati to enable him to look directly at Allah. What nur Allah will place? That the Jannati will stay transfixed at the munificence, at the magnificence, at the beauty, at the illumination of Allah. Allama Ghazali rahimahullah mentions the riwayat. The sanad is da'if, but I mention it anyway. He says the first gaze, the Jannati will stay transfixed. And the nur of Allah, that first gaze will last 800,000 years. Such will be the lazzat and the ecstasy of looking directly at Allah. Such a Jannat. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why didn't they chase after this dunya? Allah's azmat, Allah's yaqeen, Allah's consciousness, fikr of akhirat, tasawwur of akhirat, such an environment existed in Madina Munawwara. Such an effort of iman Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. That his heart was linked to Allah, connected to Allah. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, coming back to the riwayat, he said, search your hearts on three occasions. Inna sima'il Qur'an, fi majalisi dhikr, wa fi awqatil khalwa. Search your heart when Qur'an is read. In the gatherings of Allah's remembrance, in the moments of solitude, فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ قَلْبَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَوَاطِنِ الثَّلَاثِ فَسَلِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ أَنْ يَمُنَّ عَلَيْكَ بِالْقَلْبِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا قَلْبِ. He says, if your heart does not go towards Allah on these three occasions, then ask Allah to give you a heart. Ask Allah to give you a heart because you have no heart. Your heart will die. Then heart which is not beating with the love of Allah. Then heart which has not tasted the ecstasy of sajda before Allah. Then heart, when the heart rate doesn't increase at the zikr of Allah, at the name of Allah. My respected brothers, Allah protect us, Allah forgive us, that is a dead heart. This heart was given so that it becomes Allah's arsh. This heart was given so that we recognize Allah. This heart was given so that the qibla and the direction of this heart becomes Allah. How much do we speak about Allah? How much do we sacrifice for Allah? How much is the consciousness of Allah in this heart? Not for nothing our elders are telling us that give this da'wah toward Allah's greatness. Bring Allah's zikr on the tongue. Speak of the sifat of Allah, the attributes of Allah. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, hum isliye nahi kehte hain ki Allah ki barai bayan karo, kyunki ye ek scheme hai jiske zariye se aap logo ko chille aur pichille ke liye taiyar karenge. He used to say, we are not saying to you speak of Allah's greatness because this is some scheme that the Tabligh Jamaat taught us to prepare people to go for 40 days and 4 months. Hum isliye kehte hain ki Allah ki barai bayan karo, kyunki Allah ka haq hai ki uski tarah na kiya. We are saying to you speak of Allah's greatness because it is the right of Allah. It is the right of Allah that His praises should be sung. Makhluq ka zikr bimari hai, Khaliq ka zikr uske ilaj hai. To speak of the creation is a sickness, to speak of Allah is its cure. Very often they should tell us in Pakistan, you go to a farmer, he's got a bear's buffalo. Tell him, by as you approach him, without telling him, start talking about his buffalo. My buffalo, when it sees me, it wags its tail. Very beautiful, eats very little grass, eats very white milk, does this, does that. Then you tell him, why speak about Allah that created you and created the buffalo? Speak about Allah that created the heavens and the earth. Every glance of air, of sight, is dependent on Allah. Every breath of air is dependent on Allah. Speak about that Allah. And what will he say? Mujhe sharam aate. It embarrasses me to speak about Allah. Dawat has come out of the ummah. That which was the day and night of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Understand, my respected brothers. There is no greater service to humanity. Welfare work is in its place. Allah reward those who are doing it. We need to do it also. Exhibit generosity. Be a source of service to humanity. But what is the greatest benefactor of humanity? To link and attach humanity with Allah. The life of this world, generally, if you look, Allah has made this world a place of dukkh, pain, calamity, difficulty, hardship. People are sick. People are experiencing difficulty, hardship, any direction you turn. Yet, when a person raises his hand and he says, Ya Allah, Allahumma, just in that expression, just in taking Allah's name, half his dukkh, half his pain, half his calamity is gone. That solace, that marham, that peace that Allah has kept in his name. There is no greater service to humanity than that service which Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam did. And that which was the day and night of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to link the hearts of humanity with Allah. To introduce them to Allah. Gali to gali, alley to alley, these are the days of Hajj. One youngster says, I stood on the mountain of Abu Qubais and I looked down at Mina. And I saw one person. Went from 10 to 10, person to person. What was he doing? May yu'wini, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata rabbi. He said, who will shelter me? Who will become my helper? To do what? Hatta uballigha risalata rabbi, so that I can make tabligh of this deen. So that I can convey the message of my Allah. What was the reaction from minhum man tafala fi wajhi? Some of them spat in his face. Minhum man hatha alayhi turab. Some picked up sand, they flung it at him. Minhum man sabba ala wajhi. Some of them swore at him. They mocked him, they scoffed at him, they rebuked him, they cursed him, they hit him. This youngster said, I was looking at this. Relentlessly, this person was persecuted. Yet person to person, he went. Hatta antasaf al-nahar, until half the day had passed and he sat down exhausted. A young girl, Jariyatul Wadiyah, the words come in the riwayat, beautiful young girl, she comes running. Little baby sees the distress of her father, sees the suffering of her father, she doesn't know what to do. She takes a little handkerchief out, she starts wiping the dust from the face of her father, sobbing and crying. He looks at her and he says, La takhshay ala abikil ghayla. Do not fear, Allah will not disgrace your father. This youngster says, I asked my father, who is that person? My father said, that is Muhammad bin Abdullah. That is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that young girl was Zainab radiallahu anha. Married to the richest woman in Makkah, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her caravans used to go to foreign countries for trade and commerce. Yet the day comes, listen to the ears of Iman, my respected brother, the richest woman in Makkah. What is the bunyad of the marriage of the Summat? What was the bunyad and foundation of the first marriage of Islam? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the first revelation comes out, one riwayat it is mentioned, Ya Khadija, in qata ayyamun nawmi wal raha. Man adu man yastajib. O Khadija, the days of sleep and rest for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have come to an end. Who am I going to invite? Who is going to listen to me? 360 idols in Ka'batullah. And Allah says, tell them what Allah is doing. Man adu, man yastajib. Who is going to listen? Such a bore, such a weight of responsibility has been placed on his shoulders. Every person to come till Qiyamah. The Jannat and Jahannam, the worry of that have been placed on the shoulders of Muhammad Rasulullah. This was such a weight of responsibility that Sahaba say, Ghazirun, Ya Ghaziril Mirjal, the sound of a boiling kettle would come from the heart of Rasulullah. Worry for this ummah, the cry for this ummah, the pain of this ummah. Man ad'u, man yastajib, who am I going to call? Who is going to listen? She says, Ya Rasulullah, Anta awwalu man tad'u, wa ana awwalu man astajib. You'll be the first to give the da'wah, I will be the first to say, Labbayku. And from the first day, the bunyad of the first marriage of Islam, everything was given. No stone was left unturned. In Shabi Abi Talib, in the valley of Abu Talib, that moment comes that the little baby Fatima grabs hold of the dress of her mother Khadija radiallahu anha, sobbing and crying, Ummi al-Atash, Ummi al-Atash, Ummi al-Atash. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. Oh my mother, I am thirsty. Long, long before salams of Allah came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. In Tabuk, on that occasion, Long before that, Bukhari Sharif riwayat, Jibreel presents himself before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Nabi, Khadija is on her way, she has prepared some food, she is coming towards you. Allah has sent me with his salams for Khadija. Allah has sent me with his salams for Khadija. She has suffered greatly as a result of your deen. Tell her, Allah has already prepared her home in Jannah. La saqaba fihi wa la ta'ab. There will be no tiredness, no pain, no difficulty. Everything was given in this dunya. Married to the richest woman in Makkah, yet the day comes that the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands among Safa. Walladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadihi. Ya Jibreel, ma amsa li Ali Muhammad, suffatun min daqiq, wa la kaffatun min sha'ir. He says, oh Jibreel, by the qasam of that being whose hands like the knife of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today in the home of Nubuwat, there isn't one grain of wheat or one strand of barley. There is nothing. Everything was given. Everything was placed on the mantle of sacrifice. This call reaches the arsh of Allah. Israfil is sent, Sahib al-Qarn. That angel, in one rewrite it comes, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Kayfa an'am, Kayfa an'am, wa qad iltaqama Sahib al-Qarn al-Qarn, wa hana jabhatahu, wa asgha sam'ahu, la yartaddu ilayhi tarfuhu. Look at the imagery contained in this rewrite. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh my Sahaba, what enjoyment can there be in this life? When Israfil, the angel of the trumpet, has already taken the trumpet into his mouth. Khana jabhatahu, his knees are bent. Asgha sam'ahu, his ears are trained. La yartaddu ilayhi tarfuhu, his gaze is on the arsh of Allah. He does not even blink. Because in that blinking, what happens is the command of Allah comes. He's waiting. Yantazir mata an yomar fayanfur. Waiting for the command to come and he will blow. And the obliteration of this entire universe will occur. He says, oh my Sahaba, when that has already happened, what satisfaction can there be in this life? On what basis can this ummah justify its relentless chase behind this dunya? He says, oh Jibreel, there isn't one grain of wheat, one strand of barley in the home of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is sami'a fi samai wajba. A thunderous explosion is heard. Amal Allahu sa'ata an taqum. He says, oh Jibreel, has qiyamah come? Has qiyamah come? He says, no. Allah has sent Israfil alayhi salam. His entrance into the world has caused this explosion. He has never come before. Israfil presents himself in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna rabbaka sami'a kalamak. Inna rabbaka sami'a kalamak. Wa ba'atani ilayk bi mafatihi khazain al-ard. An u'ridha alayka. An usayyira ma'aka. Jibal al-tihama. Zahab wa fidda. Wa zumrud wa yaqut. Your Rabb has heard your call. Your Rabb has heard your cry. And he has sent me with the keys to the treasures of the world. To offer you, if you want, the entire Tihama ranges of mountain will be turned into gold, silver, sapphires, and emeralds. Will follow you wherever you go. Abd al-Nabiyya, O Malik al-Nabiyya, do you want to be a slave in the Nabi of Allah? Or do you want to be a king in the Nabi of Allah? By the qasam of my Allah, by the qasam of my Allah, by the qasam of my Allah, if you had chosen wealth, if you had chosen kingdom, it would not have diminished his from his maqam and his status even one iota. Voluntarily, ikhtiyaran, he said, bal abdan nabiyya. Bal abdan nabiyya. I want to be a slave in the Nabi of Allah. Arada alayya rabbi. Arada alayya rabbi. An yaj'ala batha makkata zahaban wa fidda. He said, my Rabb offered me, if you want, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will turn the mountain ranges of Makkah into gold and silver for you. فَأَبَيْهِ وَقُلْتُ يَا رَبِّ أَجُوعُ يَوْمًا وَأَشْبَعُ يَوْمًا. I said, no, my Allah, I will go hungry one day and I will eat one day. On the day when I go hungry, I will cry before you. On the day when I eat, I will make your hamd and I will make your shukr. اختيارا he brought himself down to such a level. He knew the condition of his ummah. He knew what would happen to this ummah. Go in the jungles of Africa today and try and find even today one home where two, three months pass and the fire is not lit to cook food. That level of poverty, that level of hardship, that level of difficulty he brought himself upon. Ramadan has just passed. I remember a few days ago we were in one masjid. The zimmedar of that masjid was telling us, he says, why don't you come to England in Ramadan? 18-hour roza, but it goes so quickly. Somebody came from India now, they never even felt it. From Sehri right up to Zohar, you can sleep. Maybe we must have Sehri one day. Maybe, possibly. Such intizam takes place before Ramadan with the samosas and bhajiyas and preparation. It's almost impossible to feel hunger. But maybe one day we must have Sehri. Or if a little bit hunger. At that time, try and identify with what the hunger of Rasulullah loves. That Aisha gets up at night, and what does she see? She sees the beloved of Allah. The beloved of Allah, his back is bent over. He's pressing his stomach to the plank of the bed. She says, Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? He says, Aisha, the pangs of hunger have become too difficult for me. She says, وَلَقَدْ أَمْسَحُ بِيَدِي عَلَىٰ بَطْنِهِ. She says, I took my own hand and I started pressing the stomach of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to try to alleviate the pangs of hunger. Everything was placed on the mantle of qurbani and sacrifice for this ummah. Allah had offered him to turn the mountain ranges of Makkah into gold. Then what is he doing? He's walking in a garden. He's picking up dates from the ground. My respected brothers, dates that are lying on the ground will be partially eaten by insects. Restaurant leftover food, what they say, health regulations, not fit for human consumption. Throw it away, give it to the animals. Who is this? Tomorrow you will see. أَنَا أَوَّلُ النَّاسِ خُرُوجًا إِذَا بُعِثُوا وَأَنَا قَائِدُهُمْ إِذَا وُفِدُوا وَأَنَا قَتِيبُهُمْ إِذَا أُنْسِتُوا وَأَنَا مُبَشِّرُهُمْ إِذَا يَيْأَسُوا لِوَاءُ الْحَمْدِ بِيَدِي يَطُوفُ عَلَيَّ أَلْفُ خَادِمٍ كَأَنَّهُمْ لُؤْلُؤٌ مَكْنُونٌ. Tomorrow you will see. He says that when humanity will be raised up on the day of judgment, I will be the first to be raised. When humanity is silenced, I will speak. When humanity will have lost hope, I will give them hope. When they will have no one to represent them, I will represent them. Kullu nas, Adam, waman siwa, tahta liwa'i. Every person of humanity, from Adam alayhi salam, and everyone besides him, will be under my flag. I will be the leader of humanity. That maqam, that status. And yet what is he doing? Picking up dates from the ground. Dates that are partially eaten by insects. He offers it to Ibn Umar. Ibn Umar says, I couldn't even look at those dates. What did he say? He says, بَلْ أَنَا أَشْتَهِيهِ هَذِهِ سُبْحُ رَابِعًا مَا دُقْتُ شَيْعًا. He said, oh Ibn Umar, I desire these dates. Why? Because 4 days have passed. 4 days have passed and I have not had one morsel of food. Everything given. Months would pass, Rain al Hilal, Thumma Rain al Hilal, Thumma Rain al Hilal. The wives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, we saw one moon, then the next moon, then the next moon. 3 moons we saw, and the stove would not be lit to cook food in the house of Rasulullah. What was this for, my respected brothers? Today this ummah is forgotten. This worry, this dard, this concern, this cry for the ummah that culminated with the Hajj of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Surah Nasr was revealed. Allah Ta'ala has given ishara in this surah of the Quran that Al-Wida has come, the time for you to leave has come. He mounts his camel Qaswa, the same khutbah he gave on the 9th and the 10th. Ibn Kathir rahimullah mentions the riwayat, the same khutbah is given on the 11th, but there is an addition at the beginning of the khutbah. Why? Because Surah Nasr had been revealed, time for Al-Wida has come near. The worry had increased. So he addresses Sahaba, the uncle of Abu Yazid, Ruqashi radiallahu ta'ala, holding the rein of the camel. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, standing at the flank of the camel. He begins the same khutbah he gave on the 9th and the 10th, but there is one addition. Asa Allah talqawni ba'da ami hada. Oh my Sahaba, after this year you will see me no more. Words cannot describe what must have happened to Sahaba to get this. Like some relative holds your hand, your mother or your father holds the hand, with the last gasp of air in the body saying this is alwida. More than that was the love Sahaba had for him. Oh my Sahaba, after this year you will see me no more. Why did he say this? To increase the importance, to increase the relevance of the message that he is giving. He delivers his khutbah. At the end of that khutbah, one question. Hal ballagh. Oh my Sahaba, have I fulfilled the haqq of the deen? No other tenet of deen, not salah, not zakat, not hajj, was this question asked. Have I fulfilled the haqq of it? Only tabligh. Have I fulfilled the haqq of tabligh? What does this question mean? A lot of times we hear this, my respected brother. What does this question mean? Have I fulfilled the haqq of it? What does it mean? Like a kaleidoscope that 23 years of Qurbani was in front of them. They saw him tie stones to his stomach as a result of hunger. They saw his daughters given talaq openly in public. They saw the intestines of camel placed on his back when he was in salah. They knew of the 3 miles in Taif that he was pelted. They knew of the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emptied. They knew of the hunger. They knew of the pain. They knew of the hardship. They knew of the persecution. They knew of the night in, night out, crying before Allah for this ummah. His family members slaughtered, women of Medina becoming widows, children becoming orphans, Sahaba giving their lives, all that was in front of them. And what does he ask? Al-Ballagh, what was he asking? That, oh my Sahaba, for the hidayat of my ummah, was there some other qurbani that I could have given that I didn't give? Was there some other hardship? One more whoop, one more pang of hunger, one more hurt, one more insult, one more level of persecution. Was there something more that I could have done that I didn't do? His cry, his high. His high, his cry. This would shake the arsh of Allah. Like a woman whose child is dying in front of her. Like a father whose whole family is burning in a house in front of him and there is nothing that he can do. What is the cry of that father? What is the cry of this mother? By the qasam of my Allah. More than that was the cry of Rasulullah. His high, his cry, where his body used to shake on the Rasulullah. Night in, night out in Medina Munawwara, where the ground used to turn to mud because of the tears of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rabbi ummati, ummati. Ya Rabbi ummati, ummati. Allah my ummah, Allah my ummah. When a kafir dies on kufr, it comes in the riwayat, 99 black serpents attach themselves to his body and they continue biting until Qiyamah. Where is the cry for that today? Where is that done today? This cry would shake the arsh of Allah. And like sometimes when a child is crying, how the mother picks the child up, cuddles the child, embraces the child, stop crying, stop crying, stop crying. Exactly like that Jibreel used to be said. Verse upon verse of the Quran, oh my Nabi, stop crying, stop crying. فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ مَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِجَفَارٍ لَسْنَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ لَسْنَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ فَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الْكُفْرُ لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Are you going to finish yourself? Look at what Quran is saying. Are you going to finish yourself? Because they will not accept. This dirt, this pain reached its culmination on the plains of Mina and Arafat. And all this was contained in this expression, Hal ballagh. Hal ballagh, was there something more that I could have done? With one voice, Sahaba said, بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةَ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةَ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةَ وَكَشَفْتَ الْغُمَّةَ وَجَاهَدْتَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِكَ. Ya Rasulullah, you fulfilled the haqq. You fulfilled the haqq. There was nothing more you could have done. He raises his finger. Allahumma shahad. Allahumma shahad. Allahumma shahad. Wallah, you be a witness. Wallah, you be a witness. Wallah, you be a witness. And there He makes intiqal. He transfers this dard, this pain, this cry, this concern upon this ummah. That is why the riwayat of Ibn Kathir, this edition comes, لا نبي بعدي ولا أمة بعد أمتي فليبلغ الشاهد منكم الغائب. No other Nabi to come, no other Ummah to come. O my Ummah, this responsibility of Dawat and Tabligh, I am handing it over to them. Sahaba understood this. Sahaba understood the reality of this. They made their graves in the four corners of the world. They emptied Medina and Makkah. Behind this was the dard and the pain and the compassion for humanity of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah fill the qabr of Azimullah Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi wa noor. Allah use that banda to remind the ummah of the sabak and lesson that we forgot. And not only forgot that we forgot. This is what our elders are saying. Aaj ummat maqsad and nubuwat se khari ho chuki. Today this ummat has lost its identity with the cry of the khatm nubuwat of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every ummati, every reciter of kalima, understand my respected brothers, like salah is an order of Allah, and like zakat is an order of Allah, and like hajj is an order of Allah, by the qasam of my Allah, by the qasam of my Allah, by the qasam of my Allah, da'wat and tabliq is an order of Allah. Da'wat and tabliq is an order of Allah. It is the cry and pain of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the instrument by which the legacy of rahmat and mercy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kept alive right up to the Qiyamah. To learn this responsibility, my respected brothers, don't look left, don't look right. The clock of our life is ticking. The qabr is coming closer and closer. Akhirat is coming closer and closer. Our goal is not this dunya, our goal is akhirat. 6 billion insan on the face of this earth. Like ants, people are dying and going towards Jahannam. This dull, this worry, this concern has to come alive once again in this ummah. So to get ourselves accepted for this, to get ourselves accepted for this, to make dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, you accept me for the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that, my respected brothers, to learn this responsibility, if you haven't given 4 months, don't wait for others. Stand up now and give our names to go for 4 months in the path of Allah. Those who have been 4 months, make me a 4 months every year in the path of Allah. Chalo bhai, let us stand up and give our names, mashallah. Come and respect others. Don't wait for others. Our standing will encourage others to stand, mashallah. Stand up and give our names, mashallah. Why are we sitting? We're standing here, we're not signing some legal document, we're asking Allah to accept us. Please, the screen will not be long, no one leave the gathering. Please, we make humble appeal. Allah reward you. Say ameen, my respected. Allah reward you for all you have said. But please don't disrupt the tashkeel. No one leave the gathering, mashallah.